So this evening, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some Divrei Torah that you might want to share at the Seder. If you wish, you can either write some notes, or you can I can send you, if after the shiur you want me to send you my notes from the shiur, I'll be happy to send that to you as well to help refresh your memory. I'm recording this as well, and so these are brief 3 or 4 minute ideas, about 6 or 7 of them, 7 or 8 of them. We'll see how many we can cover in the next half hour. Though hopefully, some of them maybe you can use at your Seder. Okay, so I'm going to jump right in. The first thing we'll talk about is karpas. This is from Rabbi J.J. Schachter. This is an idea that I found especially meaningful. The Mishnah in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, states that you just have to dip a vegetable. You don't have to dip any specific vegetable. And the question is, why specifically karpas? So there's different reasons suggested why karpas. Some say it's the code word for Samech Perach. You mix up the letters, 60. So 600,000 Jews had Perach, harsh labor. I want to focus on Rabbeinu Manoach. Rabbeinu Manoach, in his commentary in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, Perach Ches, Halacha Beis, he says, what's karpas? Zecher L'Ketzones Pasim. Karpas, to remind us of the Ketzones Pasim, Sha'asa Yaakov Avinu LiYosef, that Yaakov made for Yosef. And he says, She'besibata Gilgal Hadavar V'yardu Avoseinu LiMitzrayim, that this is actually the beginning, what led the Bnei Yisrael down to Egypt. What led Bnei Yisrael down to Egypt? It was Yosef. Yosef was sold. So the Karpas hints at Yosef's Ketzones Pas Pasim. You have other commentaries. Rav Yehoshua ibn Shu'ib explains the word karpas can be broken up into two words. Kar, meaning ruler. He brings a proof text from Yeshayahu, and pas, from pas, kesones pasim. This is Yosef. He was a ruler, and he had the kesones pasim. And in fact, the Tashbetz explains that when we say avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, that we were slaves in Egypt. So he explains that we begin the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the bad, right? Maschil bignus. But the bad is not when we went down to Egypt with Yaakov's family. What's the bad? When Yosef himself was sold as a slave, that's when the slavery began. Now, the Midrash in Yalkut Shimon says that whatever happened to Yosef will happen to the Bnei Yisrael. It says, Bo ur'eh shekomah she'ira li'Yosef, ira li'tzion. Whatever happened to Yosef happens to Bnei Yisrael. It gives a whole bunch of examples. He says, the story of Yosef is the story of our people. And maybe the rabbis are telling us that specifically on the night of Pesach, the story of Yosef is also very much the story of our people. But in what way? So perhaps this is Rabbi J.J. Schachter suggested, that in the aftermath of the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we are dealing with a nation that's on a bumpy road. Not everything is perfect, right? We celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim, or our ancestors did, when we were in Golos. And the point being that sometimes Geula, redemption, has its ups and downs, and there's a process. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's the long haul, and we have to be patient for the Geula. And this, by the way, is the story of Yosef. Yosef's redemption. Yosef was someone who had so many ups and downs in his life. In fact, Rav Meir Goldrich makes the point. He says, how did Yosef know that there would be a happy ending when he had dreams of the butler and the baker? And he said, the butler, the Sar Mashkim, is going to be good. And the Sar HaOfim, the baker, is going to be bad in the end. So how did he know that? The Sar HaMashkim will have a good ending? Because he says the story of the butler, what he did, and the dream involved a process. The dream of the butler was squeezing the grapes, transforming them into wine, and bringing them to Paro. Yosef understood that the geula, the redemption, the salvation, is typically only achieved after a process. Yosef's story is our story. The geula is not always smooth. We still celebrate on the night of Pesach, even when we're not fully redeemed. But we have faith that the geula will event, the final geula will eventually come. There's a process, but geula will happen at the end of the day. That's why the karpas reminds us of Yosef, the kesones pasim, because not just that's the beginning of the story when we went down to Egypt, but the whole process of geula, of ups and downs, that's the story of Yosef's life and that will be the story of our life. That's Dvar Torah number one. Dvar Torah number two, from Rabbi Liebtag, the Magid, when you begin the Magid. So the mitzvah of Sipur, when we say the Magid, we're doing the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're telling over the story of when we left Egypt. And it's the Pasuk is what? V'higadata lebincha, b'yomahu lemor, b'avur zeh asa Hashem li, b'tzeis Mitzrayim. So you should tell over your children that b'avur zeh asa Hashem li. What does this mean? The Rashbam says it means because, you should tell your children, because Hashem did miracles for me in Egypt, I'm doing this service. In other words, according to the Rashbam, that what's the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? When we're doing the Pesach, the Matzah, the Maror, we're going to tell our kids, why am I doing this? It's an expression of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Egypt. However, Rashi explains that no, that's not what Bavur Zeh. Bavur Zeh means, Hashem took me out, Bavur Zeh, Bavur Shah Kayem Mitzvosav, so that I will keep his mitzvos. Kigon Pesach Matzah Maror Halo, like Pesach Matzah Maror. Rashi says that on the night of Pesach, we tell our children, Hashem freed us so that we'll do his mitzvos. What's the difference between the Rashbam and Rashi? So I love this line that Rabbi Liebtag coined. He says, on the night of Pesach, what are we really saying? Does Hashem work for us, or do we work for him? What do I mean by that? According to the Rashbam, Pesach is about Hashem working for us, and us expressing thank you to Hashem. Is the night of Pesach simply an opportunity to express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of saying thank you to Hashem? That's the Rashbam. Hashem is working for us, and we're saying thank you to him. But Rashi has a more ambitious approach to our goal the night of Pesach. It's not merely about thank you. It's about what? It's about saying, oh, Hashem took us out. Why? For a mission, for a reason. For us to realize, oh, he took us out? There must be a purpose. To strengthen ourselves, to fortify ourselves, so we leave the night of Pesach wanting to do more to fulfill our mission. Again, that the Magid, they're about to do, it's a thank you, but it's more than a thank you. It's a declaration that this is my mitzvah, that this is my mission. Hashem took us out so that we would live a life dedicated to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is Dvar Torah number two. We have Karpas. Number two is Magid. Again, I'll be happy to send to you, if you shoot me an email afterwards, my notes to help you quickly review and remind yourself. Number three, Halach Ba'anya. At the end of Halach Ba'anya, you know what we say? If you could turn, you know, if you have that, God, I'm going pretty quickly. But at the end of Halach Ba'anya, what do we say? We say, Hashata Avdei. We say, oh, this is the poor man's bread that we ate when we were in Egypt. Kol Dichven Yesev Yecha, anyone to watch and come and eat. Right? Hashata Avdei. Now we are slaves. L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin. Or Ba'arad Yisrael, Shana Haba B'nei Chorin. Now we're slaves. In the future, we are going to be free. So it's very interesting that now, right, Halach Ba'anya, we're saying now we're slaves. What do you mean we're slaves? In other words, we just celebrate the fact we're no longer slaves, but now we're saying, yeah, we're still slaves. You should know that the Haggadah, there are different versions of the Haggadah. The Maxwell House Haggadah is not the end-all, be-all Haggadah. There is an earlier version of the Haggadah from the era of the Gaonim, which had a different version that didn't say, now we're slaves. It actually said, Hayom b'nei Chorim, now we're free. So my point is, our Haggadahs, I'm sure most of the Haggadahs that we have nowadays, that you're going to have your Seder, you're going to say, now we are slaves, and next year we're going to be free. There were some Haggadahs that said, no, what do you mean? We're free now. We left Egypt. What's the basis of the debate? Why at the end of Halach Ba'anya do we say we're slaves today? So it could be related to an interesting debate about Purim. There's a debate between two Amoraim as to whether we should say Hallel on Purim. Purim is the time when what? Purim is when we were free, we had a death sentence for all the Jewish people, and Hashem saved us. So why don't we say Hallel? Two different answers. Rav Nachman says we should say Hallel, but the Megillah reading, that's the Hallel. So Rav Nachman says fundamentally we should say Hallel. Rava says no. How can we say Hallel? It's true Hashem freed us from our death sentence, But he said we're still slaves to, we're still servants to Achashverosh. We haven't achieved the final freedom that would warrant the Hallel. So maybe that could explain our text in the Halach Ba'Anya. What do we say? Now we're slaves, because it's true. We were left out of Egypt, but now, in a time when the Haggadah, perhaps the Haggadah finally came to fruition, we're in the diaspora. Now we're still in the diaspora, so we are not truly physically free. But maybe there's a deeper message. Maybe when we say Hashata Avdei, now we're slaves, we're not merely saying now we're physically slaves, but maybe we're talking about our spiritual, our mental states. Maybe what we're saying is, what happened? We left Egypt, and we're supposed to now be servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, servants to God, but we're still slaves to our passions. We didn't fully take advantage of what Yetzias Mitzrayim afforded us to become what? What, you know, God's servants and doing and acting according to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? We're not giving up hope. Hashata Avdei L'Shana Haba B'nei Charim. This year, we're still slaves to our passions. We're not fully there, but I have faith in ourselves. We have faith in ourselves. We're gonna get better. We're going to do better. In other words, there's a difference. The belief that we're going to have a spiritual redemption is the difference between those who believe that we're in a tunnel, even though we can't see the light, and we know that soon we're going to get out of that tunnel, and those who think there is no tunnel, just a world that's unalterably dark. So again, my question is, why do we end up saying today we're slaves? There was other Haggadahs that said not like that, said we're free, but our Haggadah says now we're slaves. It's either because politically, physically, we haven't achieved full redemption, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, or maybe though, it's not talking about political freedom, it's talking about spiritual freedom. Right, there's a machlokes to the Gemara of what this, the bad and the good that we talk about. What approach is that the gudus is the spiritual slavery, the spiritual freedom. So we say we're not there yet, but we have faith that we're going to get there. Dvar Torah number 4. We did Karpas, Halach Ba'Anya, and Karpas, Magid, Halach Ba'Anya. Number 4 is the Rasha and the She'enio de Alishol. I really like this Dvar Torah by Rabbi Lam. Rabbi Lam has written about the Russia of today. Rabbi Lam has written that the Russia of old was a heretic, but the Russia of today is a Russia without rishus. He is someone who is not evil. He is someone today who's mistaken. His waywardness is to be traced not to malice or wickedness, but to a fundamental mistakenness. The failure is intellectual, not moral. He hasn't learned. The Haggadah states that the Russia is kafar be'ikar, but he says, that's the old Russia, Rabbi Lam said. Nowadays, that's not the people who aren't observant today. Rabbi Lam explains that out of an amazing religious ignorance, he dismisses what's primary and fundamental as unimportant. Maybe 2,000 years ago, we may not have wanted the Russia at the Seder. But nowadays, we definitely do want the Russia at the Seder. We just have to learn how to talk to him. And how we talk to him will have a direct impact on the other sons. We argue with him, we debate him, we teach him, we educate him. What do we say by the Russia? Hakeh et shidav. We dull the sharpness of his complaint by demonstrating the valuelessness of his prejudices. And also, what do we say? Va'af atah hakeh eshidav. Bring your atah, you. Bring your own self and personality into the dialogue. But above all, Rabbi Lam writes, love him. Our challenge, and here's the key thing, our challenge, right, there are 4 sons, and our challenge in dealing with the Russia today is to appreciate the questions and how to learn to deal with the conflict, that may arise. Rabbi Dr. Twersky has written that the challenge that we have in society today is we try too hard to avoid conflict. We don't like what the Russia has to say, so we shut him down and we create She'ene Yodea Lishols. That's our challenge. Our challenge is when we have someone who, quote unquote, is a Russia, it's a politically incorrect term, We have someone who challenges us, who questions and maybe derides, you know, what we're doing. Don't shut him down so that he becomes a She'ena Yodea Lishol. And sometimes the reason why we shut someone down is because ultimately we're just not confident enough in ourselves, in our own mission, in what we do. And sometimes we go through the motions without thinking twice. So when someone questions us, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we have to shut that person down when we're confronted. So our challenge is to learn to be proud of what we're doing, to engage the Russia, to engage someone who challenges us, and to engage in him so that he doesn't turn into a She'enu Yodea Lishol. That's Dvar Torah number 4. Dvar Torah number 5. There are 4 psukim of freedom. What do we say? We say Aramid Ovid Avi, we went down to Egypt. The next pasuk is that they did evil to us. They enslaved us. The third pasuk, right, there are 4 psukim that we say, that we have a whole explanation in the middle of the Maggid. The third pasuk says that we cried out to Hashem. And then the fourth pasuk says, Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu b'Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt, b'yad chazaka, v'zrod etuyah, with a strong head and an outstretched arm, b'mora gadol, with great reverence, right, ba'osos v'mofsim, with signs, with different signs and wonders. So, what do we say? We say, v'yotzeinu Hashem, b'yad chazaka, v'yotzeinu Hashem, elokeinu b'Mitzrayim. What does the Haggadah say? Hashem took us out. Ani velo malach. Ani velo saraf. God took us out personally, not through a messenger, not through an angel. The whole point of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Haggadah, we don't mention Moshe's name. The focus is on God, that God took us out. No angel, no messenger. It's all about God. But then, and the pasuk continues, says V'yotzei Hashem b'yad chazaka v'zro d'tuyah, right? So what's yad chazaka? That's dever, that's pestilence. Zro d'tuyah, that's the cher, the sword. That perhaps is referencing when Moshe told Paro, "Let us go worship God in the desert for 3 days." Pen yifkainu b'cherav b'dever uvecharav, lest Hashem, smite us with dever or cherav. So we're saying Hashem took us out with Dever and Cherev, right? B'yad chazakah v'zro d'tuyah. But then we say something strange. Then we end off by saying, Be'osos uvamofsim, with the osos, which is the mateh, the staff that Moshe used to hit. And then we say, what's the mofsim? This is the dam. That's what we do. Dam v'es, v'simosh hashad. And we cite a pasuk from, say, for Yoel. What's that doing here? We start off by saying that God took us out of Egypt personally, right? Hashem took us out of Egypt personally with an outstretched arm, and he did it all himself. And then we say it was with an oath, with a mateh, but the mateh was done by Moshe and Aaron. That was human intervention. So question number 1 is, why don't we begin the pasuk by saying that Hashem did it all himself? And then we say, but we did it with Osos, with Amate, with our intervention, and also Mofsim, we're citing, that's the blood, as it says in Sefer Yoel, Dam Vayes, V'Simosh Hashad. What does that have to do with anything? Right? That's towards the end of the Maggid, when I start focusing, we're seeing if the soup's getting cold. But what's this pasuk talking about? So perhaps, the first step, is the question is, how much should we get involved in our own future, and our own salvation? First step in this pasuk is, V'Yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem alone. We need to realize that God does not need an intermediary. God can do everything by himself. That, and we have to ground our emunah, our faith, and realize Hashem can do everything himself. Once we realize that everything comes from God, so then we can use the mateh. Then we help create the miracles from Hashem. First, realize really it's all God. Whatever you see in the real world, there are other people involved. It's all God's behind everything. Once we realize that, then osos. Then we realize Hashem uses us to partner with him. And what's the mofsim? What's the blood? The blood, dam v'es, the Moshe Hashan from Sefer Yoel, that is talking about the final redemption. And what we're saying really is that just like when we were redeemed from Egypt, We first had in our Amunah, Hashem did everything. Hashem's in charge of everything. And once we realized that Hashem allowed us to partner with him, so too, the final redemption, B'movsim, the final redemption, the Geula, then similarly, we're also going to partner with Hashem to bring about, it's not just the Dam, it means in the final redemption, when Hashem shows his wonders, it will also be through our intervention as well. We don't just sit back and wait for Hashem to finally redeem us. Perhaps through Torah, through mitzvos, through making aliyah, through participating in the growth of Medinat Yisrael. All these things, we're partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this last pasuk is the key to understand how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu back then in the time of Egypt, and how we should relate to him in the future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. We partner with Hashem, Osos, and then this is going to carry us on to Mofsim, to the future. That's how the final redemption will happen as well. Dvar Torah number 6. B'chol Dor V'Dor. So there's a famous debate between what it says in most of our Haggadahs and the Rambam. In most of our Haggadahs we say, at the end of the Maggid, B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayev Adam Liros Etz Atzmo Kilu Yotza B'Mitzrayim. That we should see ourselves as if we left Egypt. The Rambam has a famous, he adds a famous letter, one letter to this. He says, "B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam leharos etz atzmo." A person is obligated to show himself. What's the difference between that we have to see ourselves as if we left Egypt tonight, or we have to show as if we left Egypt? So I think the difference is, that Laharos is to put on a show. You know, some people go with the bag of matzah on their back and they walk around and they buy all these, you know, it's a big business from Amazon, you know, all the different makos puppets and everything. That's Laharos. That's to put on a show, to act a certain way, which is wonderful, to demonstrate it, because it gets you in the mood. You try to re-experience what happened. But you know what Liros is? So Laharos is to act a certain way. Liros is a subjective mitzvah. Liros means that I have an obligation on the Seder night to feel as if I left Egypt. The question is, how do you do that? How do you feel that you left? Like, what does that mean exactly? Rav Moshe Sternbach once said that the Chayav Adam Liros Etz Atzmo is a very difficult mitzvah to truly imagine as if we left Egypt. And he says, this is Meikar Chovas Halayla. It is the most central mitzvah of the night. It's very difficult, but it's the most central mitzvah of the night. So how do we achieve this level of Chayav Adam Liros Etz Atzmo? So there are two textual sources in the Haggadah for this idea that we have to imagine ourselves as if we left Egypt. First is Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tzeisi B'Mitzrayim. That for the sake of this, Hashem did miracles for me when I left Egypt. The second is Vosadu Hotzi Bisham Laman Havi Osadu Lase Sladu Asaretz Hashir Nishpa Lavonseinu. That Hashem took us out from there in order to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, to give us the land that He promised to our ancestors. The first pasuk Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tzeisi Mitzrayim is what? Is we have to feel that what? We have to feel that we're on a mission. What does it mean that we have to imagine as if we left Egypt? Like Rashi, we said in earlier Dvar Torah, we have to imagine as if we are a people on a mission. That's point number one. And point number two is that V'osadu Hotzi, Hashem took us out to give us a land to that Hashem promised, that Hashem promised something to all of us, to Klal Yisrael, that we're part of Klal Yisrael. In other words, these two psukim teach us, on the one hand, Lee, I have a mission, and number two is that I'm part of a national story, and what happens to other Jews happens to me. Like when Rav Aryeh Levine went with his wife to the hospital, and the doctor asked Rav Aryeh Levine, his wife was hurt. So he took his wife to the hospital. The doctor said, "What's wrong?" And Rav Aryeh Levine said, "We hurt our leg," right? Because he felt whatever happened to his wife happened to him.
And that's this idea. In other words, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of chayv adam liros as sounds with the feel as if you left Egypt? What does that mean to feel? Number one, we're a nation where that I have a mission, and number two is that I am part of a nation and I feel connected. What happens to my fellow Jews around me impacts me, myself. I'm going to do one more. We're going to skip one. We're going to do one more Dvar Torah. And the final Dvar Torah is Chag Gadja. Finish at the end. What's Chag Gadja about? Right? It's the old story of, right, there was once there was a fly, I don't know why, or there was a spider. Right? They have these nursery rhymes that are like this. And they say this. So what's Chag Gadja? Three explanations as to what Chag Gadja is. Rav Yonos and Ivishitz views Chag Gadja is that it's the historical saga of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the lamb, the little kid, and the Egyptians are the cat, and Amalek is the dog, and the staff of Moshe is the stick, and the fire of the Mishkan is the fire, and Torah study of Ezra is the water, and Hellenism is the ox which caused the fountains of Torah to dry up. And the Chashmonai family is the Shochet, the slaughterer. And the Roman Emperor Titus is the angel of death. But at the end of the day, at the end of our history, Kadosh Baruch Hu will slay the angel of death, reverse the actions of Titus HaRasha, and bring about the final redemption. Another approach, cited by Rav Menachem Kasher's Haggadah, is that this poem is connected to a famous Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. In this Medrash, there's a conversation between Avram and Nimrod. Nimrod turns to Avram and he says, okay, let's serve fire. And Avram says, well, wait a second, but water can extinguish fire. So Nimrod said, okay, fine, let's worship water. And Avram said, no, but the clouds hold the water. So Nimrod said, okay, let's worship the clouds. And Avram said, whoa, but the winds can move the clouds. And the conversation goes on, and the point of the conversation between Avram and Nimrod was that if you give strength to anything other than God, it's foolish. And that's what the poem of Chag Gadya is all about. The cat thinks it's so powerful because it's stronger than the baby goat until the dog bites it. And the water thinks it's powerful because it can put out the fire until the ox drinks it. It's silly to worship anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elie Wiesel suggested a different approach to this poem. Elie Wiesel said that if the Jewish people are the goat, well, we didn't really last very long before being eaten. So that's not a great poem. So he wants to say that, no, you know who the Jewish people are? The Jewish people is the child for whom the father bought the little goat. We don't mention that the child's there. The father is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's God. And he buys the child a goat, a little goat. At the end of the story, the goat is not around. But Father, Heavenly Father, and Son, Klal Yisrael, are around. And the point of this poem is that even if we witness a lot of perversion and a lot of injustice and a lot of confusion in the world, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be around, and not only will HaKadosh Baruch Hu be around, but we will also be around.